Tyler, what's going on? It's been it must have been like it must be like 4 or 5 months now, I feel like, since we've
Dude.
recorded a podcast. I gotta pull that up and look at that and see when that was.
And probably I can guarantee that on our last podcast, we were probably talking about, hey, we're going to be a lot more consistent with these.
Yeah, we do that every time. The last one was March 6th with Adam. Everything SEO with Adam on March 6th. So holy smokes, that's been a while. Yeah,
Yeah,
we do say that like every time.
that was a good one. And it's funny, we had Chris message us about the podcast on
Yep.
Discord, and then out of nowhere, one of my buddies from college was like, "Hey, how long does it take for your like to do everything for your podcast?" Because some of my college friends listen to us, and I was like, "Honestly, we do like basically no preparation.
We just
We
show
show
up.
up, we turn on the camera, we talk for 45 minutes, and it's not like we don't do any postscript editing, there's nothing, it just gets uploaded onto, wherever we upload it." And I was like, honestly, in total, it's like maybe 20 minutes of
Yeah.
like preparation and editing, and it's up and it's live.
And what was he like, then why don't you do this? It's like, why, like, if it's not that challenging, why don't you do more?
Yeah, right. No, but he's like, dude, like, so our college just hired a new baseball a new manager,
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
yeah, and I've been, and I hate to
Wait,
say it,
is
but I've been
the
calling for the head of the manager that they hired for a while now,
college
and
is UCF, right?
no, UNF.
UNF. Oh, this whole time I thought it was UCF for some reason. The whole time I was even talking with Colin about it, and I was like, I'm 99% sure it's UCF because I saw like Joe Girardi or something got hired at,
Okay.
or they
Oh.
sent him an offer.
Oh,
Anyways,
really? I
yeah.
didn't know that. We play UCF is one of the teams that we play every year. But basically what I'm, it's kind of cool. College baseball is like cool, better now than it was when I played there, 'cause now the players can make money and the players can change teams, like change universities really easy. And there's a lot more things that programs can do. And like I'm wanting UNF to like, yo, change the game. You can literally change the way, college baseball is. And why the hell does the head coach not have a podcast? Like, why are the kids like, if I was the head coach of UNF right now, I would literally give team meetings on, hey, this is how you go viral on social media. Oh, you guys want to use the field to play home run derby at night and turn on the lights and make the stadium look awesome? Like, okay, we got a video guy. Let's get a video guy that chops this stuff up and makes it nice for you guys to post on socials. Because
Is anybody
that,
doing that at those programs?
no, dude, no one's doing this stuff. And, like, in part, if, and I, my, one of my best friends is, he was a coach with the last coaching staff, and I don't know if he's still has that job or not, but in today's world, if you want to be the next elite manager in college baseball, dude, these are the things that you need to be doing. Because college, yeah, you got to win games on the field, but you can't just be so one-dimensional. The
Yeah.
one-dimensional coach that can only win baseball games is not going to be that top-tier guy. You got to adapt. I always use the NBA, right? The NBA changed big time when the 3-point shot, showed how effective the 3-point shot was. And now, if you look at the number of 3-pointers taken, from 2000 to 2022, it's like, holy shit, this changed the game. And every single industry that happens. What did we see that happened with Facebook marketing and their ads, right? If you listen to Hormozi, dude, this guy was returning 35-1 on his ad spend.
Yeah.
That's huge. There's no other platform that you were doing that. You weren't doing that in newspapers, right? So completely changes the game. And in business, it's like adapt or die. That is, it's so competitive. You have to be this way.
I saw this tweet yesterday, and I don't know exactly the service that this guy was providing, but he was like an outside like agency or whatever that came into a startup, and he started a podcast for them. And within the first 4 weeks of the podcast, they had like more inbound leads than ever before. And the thing is, it's not just that they generated inbound leads, it's that these leads then come to them and they already know all about them. They're already like super familiar. Like when we listen to like My First Million, it's like, if we ran into like Sam Rashawn, you really just feel like you know those guys. You feel like you trust them and things like that. Same thing as if the coach, like what a better selling point than being able to listen to multiple hours of a coach just banter back and forth with the other coaches, or even bringing their players onto the podcast and just like chopping it up and talking. Like it doesn't have to be serious. They're just like having a good time talking, even just about the kid's future, what they want to do after baseball, anything like that. That's just, I don't know, you it's just that sense of credibility and trust.
And
You
another
feel like you
thing.
know them and you never met them.
Another thing. My buddy, his name's Kyle Brooks. I miss him. He's one of my good friends. I don't call him regularly. We don't really talk that much. The only time we talk is if he needs something and he needs advice, he calls me. But I don't, other than that, we don't really talk that much. But I guarantee you, if he had a podcast on coaching, I would listen to every episode because I like, me and him used to, when we were players on our teams, we would have strategy meetings every single night in our house, right? Like that's just how we were. We like, dude, okay, like we would go over the games for hours after they happened. We would talk about like the way that if I'm pitching on Saturday, we would talk about, dude, oh, this is what I saw from this hitter. And those conversations, no, I mean, there's no wonder why those teams that I played on were so good. So many of us really gave a fuck. So when we did, show up, we were prepared, right? It's like, man, I wish that people in every industry would stop being so one-dimensional, right? Oh, like me and you were just talking about 20 minutes tops to get the podcast on. And it opens up so many people that don't have access to us regularly. They might want to be our friends, but they don't have our phone number or whatever, but they can tune in and listen to a
It's a
45-minute
way to make
podcast.
friends too. If someone's listening to this podcast, they're interested in the same things as us. And I think you can make a lot of friends that way. But how do we, even if people listen, they can tell us, how do we get, so say we're more consistent with the podcast, how do we get it out to more people? I don't have an audience. Do you run, I guess the only thing we could do is, and we don't have like that great of a budget to do that with, is chop. And obviously look at the background I'm in, chop up the short form clips. And I've even started seeing this trend. Someone pointed it out on Twitter. Was that now, like for TikTok and things, people are making fake podcast setups and just like finding something to say. Like, so this is like basically like an e-commerce brand is using this as marketing, and it's like a fake podcast setup. And it's like a girl talking, like, oh my gosh, did you see this? Or did you see X was wearing this or whatever? And they send that out and make that go viral because it looks like they're on a podcast and they're super important. They're talking. And it must be some bigger podcast because it's decorated so nicely. Then they send that, they just chop that up a million different ways and put that on TikTok on all their different accounts.
100%. And one of the things that I know about myself and some of the things that I've done in the past, like I think I've mentioned it to you before, but I had a YouTube channel that went semi-viral, like Barstool Sports, wrote an article about me. And one of the things that I was really good at is getting really creative in, the like setting up the background, like making it look more official than what it is. And that strategy, like, hey, I'm like on a podcast. There's two things that you can do. One, a lot of people will be like this, right? Like I'm filming myself right now and I'm gonna try to take this content and cut it up. I mean, we're obviously on a real podcast, but I have the background set up with my phone. It looks good. That's key. But what you can also do, if I didn't have you, what I could also do is, dude, get good at CapCut, okay? It's like TikTok's
Yeah, Maddie
video
uses
editing.
that.
Yeah, okay. So I pretend that I'm on a podcast with someone important. So let's say I take a clip of Sam Parr and he's talking and he says something, and then I cut the clip because I got the video of him doing it, and then I put it on to me and I answer him like I'm having a conversation with him. Now you have you're using the credibility of Sam Parr, even though it's not a real podcast, but you're answering him like you're on his podcast. Dude, that is gonna get so many views because people know
that's
him.
Good.
And next thing you know, you're
just using his face for it, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, you're stealing, but dude, that's.
Yep. I feel like they would appreciate a tactic like that. They would think that was good, you know, like.
Well, it is good. I always one of the things that so my video guy, the guy that you're working with, when he was like, dude, you should be doing what's it like a stitch or whatever the hell it's called, a remix or whatever, when you like someone, you use someone else's reel and then you like respond to it, or you like do
or
whatever,
like respond to a comment or things like that.
Yeah, and it's the same thing, but you know, you're doing it with a podcast, and you can even make it look like video editing can be so, tricky and trippy. We can literally do it, and, you know, we can make it look like Sam Parr's on our podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. That damn VSL is expensive, but it's so worth it. You know, it's just like, I think we talked about it over the phone. I think I called you, but it's just like, it's absolutely necessary. And I just want to like say this for other people that are listening to understand, like, so a VSL is a video sales letter. And so basically if you go on to a website, so I have a marketing agency and you land on my website, like right now, it's just this page that just sits there and exists with like limited information. It's just the same as anybody else. It says we do web design, we do SEO, we run Google Ads. You know, you can find 2 million other websites that say the same thing. So what separates you? How do you build trust? How do you build credibility? How do you generate a warm lead just simply off your website? You have a VSL that's on there. So as soon as they land on the page needs to be like, Sam Parr just had a tweet about this, about looking at startups or their first landing pages and things like that, how simple but effective they were. You literally only need somebody to land on your site, and you need to have like a H1 that like is your offer, pretty much, and then the VSL below it, and then like a contact button that then just opens up your type form and they submit it, done deal. That's all the website needs to be. You don't need any more information. The VSL is going to do all the selling for you. So the VSL in the video, then you're talking to it and you're, you know, you're bringing out what is the issue that your clients are facing. So are they struggling to get more leads? You know, whatever type of service you're selling, you know your customer, you know what the problem they're solving, or you need to solve for them, the problem they're facing. So you just, you know, depict the way that you solve this problem, gains credibility. You put social proof within the video. We've done this before. Like the way I want mine to be is like, you know, I point to a corner, like, do you want 130 calls, organic calls from your Google business profile? And I point my finger here. This is how we did it for Jason. And then it shows like the proof of that we did that. And then like another one. And then eventually, you know, you build case studies off of your clients over time, and you can include case studies in there and things like that. But you're talking to them like you know them, you completely understand, and you've solved the problem that they faced before. Then you add in social proof that they done, that you've helped people through this problem before, and then your call to action. And that's it. It only needs to be 2 minutes. Your landing page is going to convert at such a higher rate. And then it's just the sales funnel of, you know, you have this now. So the first issue is how do you drive traffic to that to get people to your VSL and then to submit the form, and then you hop onto the sales call. Close that call, and that's basically the full sales funnel of like an agency, pretty much most online digital businesses, is that you don't need anything else on your website besides your H1, your VSL, and a type form to fill out. I started using type form because of you, and I love type form.
It's the best. Here is one of the biggest problems that people run into, or one of the mistakes most entrepreneurs make is when they build their website, they try to put all of the information on there. And okay, so one of the biggest mistakes entrepreneurs make is they throw everything that they got onto the page, right? And you don't want to do that because
too much information.
Yeah, because why? You completely neglect the seduction process. You now no longer have any curiosity behind you. You've basically revealed yourself, and you don't want to do that with your customers. What you want to do is you want to just give them a taste. I call it the Baskin Robbins spoon test, right? You go into the ice cream shop, and what do? They give you unlimited taste of that little pink spoon, and you get the taste and you're like, oh my God, that's really good. And they're all really good. And then they give you like two, and then you're like, oh my God, I really want this. And then like they try to get you, and this is where the upsell actually happens. They try to get you to do a third taste, right? Because what you're gonna do is instead of getting the two scoops of, you know, mint chocolate chip and cookies and cream, you're gonna go for that, you know, that third one that's like, you know, Rocky Road or something that, you know, that you've never tried before because you tasted it and it was so good. So that's like, you know, you're totally seducing them. So on your landing page, what you really want to do is you want to give them the pink spoon test, and where you create that desire, you give them a little taste of the value. They like it. Their mouth starts watering. And then that's where you go and you put in your type form. And I recommend type form. Why? Because what you can do is you can get not only their email, but you can qualify them. If you want to get on Augury's email list, dude, I ask you like 11 questions. I know how much money you have in your portfolio. I know how often do you check your brokerage, your portfolio. What news sources are you doing? Because I'm completely qualifying the lead. I don't give a shit about these people that are tire kickers. I don't give a shit about these people that don't really want my stuff, right? And since I've been messing around with trying to get really good lead magnets. So the one that prints for Augury is, you know, like 50 emails a week is purely just on this skit. I literally have it memorized to the T. It takes me 5 minutes to record. It takes me probably 10 minutes to chop up and edit. And I post it onto Instagram and TikTok. And without fail, I get, you know, probably close to 50 emails, maybe even more if it goes viral. And it's just overvalued, undervalued, Disney stock, let's find out. And then
you gotta talk about the popular stocks that people know about too, to really draw them in.
And I'm an idiot for not realizing that sooner. People care about like the shit that they, you know,
they know about and just daily life. Yeah,
they just want to hear about the stocks in their portfolio. That doesn't mean they're going to give you the best return, but you know, that's the key to like getting leads. And I try to do it as quick as possible because I know something's happening inside the viewer, is when I pull up my Excel model and they just see it and they see me enter the thing in, they're like hooked. And I've noticed if you go on to Instagram or Twitter or any social media, go look at these profiles that show you how to use Excel. Dude, they're huge. So many people. And it's good because people know how to use these tools. And they're familiar with the tool already. And they just see me entering the numbers and they're like, what the hell? I could do that. Everybody is like, I can do this. And that's a good lead magnet because you want these people to be like, oh my God, I know how to do this. Right? They may not know how to read a 10K and, you know, really get into it, but I make it look so easy that they're like, oh my God, I can do this. All I need is this tool. So now that I have them wanting my product, they're going to give me all of their information, and they do. It's just fucking gold.
Yeah. I love Typeform. One issue I ran into, or I got two things to touch on, I guess we'll go with Typeform first. One issue that I ran into with Typeform is I love Typeform. And the problem is, you know how I sent that screenshot, I set it up with Monday CRM. Monday by far the best CRM. It's just like so flexible. The UI UX, just like so easy. It's definitely the best. But, you know, basically these SaaS products, like all they do is they build their core product and then they just build integrations. There's just like millions of integrations so people can do whatever they want. And Typeform and Monday, and this was like the same thing with across all other CRMs I tried, they don't accept all formats. So like I can't have a multiple choice question in my Typeform and then have that data be sent over to Monday. Monday doesn't accept their multiple choice.
Really?
Or like a drop down. Or like a multi-select. I'm sure they will eventually. So I have to like have people type every single thing. So I have to list the options. I'm like, please type, you know, as listed above. That's one issue I ran. It's not the biggest thing, but it's a little bit of friction because you just want people to be able to check. My thing only takes 2 minutes, but that's one little issue with Typeform. But
I know with Typeform, I've used the Notion connection integration. And between Notion and Typeform, you can declare what the type of style it is. If it is multiple choice, if it is whatever. And I know I use ActiveCampaign. Can you send emails through Monday?
Yeah.
Cool. Yep. Oh, can you do automations?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Yep. I didn't even know that.
So for me, and this is the most simplest form that I'm doing so far, but there's you can do unlimited things. I'm pretty sure you can almost bend it to your will, but as soon as a type form is submitted from somebody, they already populate as a new lead in my CRM. I don't do anything for it. And then I'll have another form when we're onboarding a client. So when they submit that, it'll create them as a new client, but then I can choose what they're created under. Cause maybe I want to separate my clients from just a website client to an SEO client or an ad client, or if they have all those services, a full package, you know, then they just appear under there. Then you can then click, I can screen share you later after we're done too. You can click into that person. You can leave call notes about them. You had a call with them, yep. What exactly it was, lost lead or follow up in 1 month, you know, just drag, it's drag and drop. It's really nice.
Yeah. And I use ActiveCampaign and it's very similar to that. If I can say so how ActiveCampaign works, you tag the customer. If they did the, you know, on my website, okay. Tag, you know, XYZ website. And I make that tag and then I can drop them automatically through whatever funnel I want to. But, also what you can do is you can click in like you were saying, and you can see all of the field data, the type form data. Mm-hmm. It's just like Notion where I can actually say, oh, if it's a multiple choice, I just declare that in my ActiveCampaign program and it automatically populates. So it allows you to do the drop downs, the multiple choice, whatever.
Yep.
Seamlessly. So I would imagine that Monday is going to be right there too.
Yeah, they'll get to you. You can select in Monday, hey, this is a multiple choice, and it's a multiple choice in type form. There's a couple fields that aren't accepted yet. They'll probably get to. But when you asked about sending emails in there, I don't know if you can send a newsletter email. You can click into a person and send them an email because you can just integrate your Gmail right into it, and you can communicate that way. I don't know about a newsletter.
Dude, and for active campaigns, you can send individual emails and you can send, campaigns, newsletters, the whole automations, whatever. But the cool thing about when you send it through active campaign, I can see when they open it. Mm-hmm. And that's important. So for example, I just made a failed payment automation. So if someone is subscribed and they don't pay, I now get notified and then I send them through an automation which says, hey, look, you're not paying. Here's how to fix it. And then, oh, they didn't respond to that. Hey, look, you're not paying. Here's what's going to happen.
Those automations are so, that's where I'm at right now with, I have a section on my whiteboard called automations. And every time I just think of something I need to do like that, it just goes up there on the whiteboard. Did you hear Sam talk about when he started Hampton? It was the last time they had, what's the girl's name they always have on the podcast? She's really great though.
I can't remember her name.
Steph something. But he said, because she talked in an earlier podcast about chief automation officers. And he hired, when he started Hampton, he immediately hired a chief automation officer. And I follow that guy on Twitter and it's super interesting.
Who is he?
His name's Grant. I can share you his Twitter too. If you go to my Twitter under my following, I just followed him 2 days ago, but because I couldn't find his Twitter for 2 weeks after I found him the first time, I should have followed him. But you can definitely scale businesses with one or two people running the business if you have all these automations in place. You can automate so many things, but it's not that easy to do. Someone who's really good with Zapier and things like that, they're really valuable. Cause I messed with Zapier a little bit and I was I could do the most simple thing ever, but some people have I saw someone share one of their automations for like offboarding a client, and there was like a 13-step process. And I was reading it, I was like, I don't know what any of this shit is. Like,
yeah, and it's not that easy. I've gotten better at Zapier. I now can do it where it's like, if I've gotten it pretty. So a couple little secrets that I've found for Augury that are working really well that I've recently implemented. One, upsells. So like I was saying with the pink spoon, I give the journal away for free. All they have to do is pay for shipping. But on that checkout page, I have an upsell. So I try to upsell them a course. The course is $37. One out of every four people that gets the free journal buys the upsell.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna make that offer way better because on this week, I have an older guy that found Augury through an ad on Instagram. He found the model template of me talking overvalued, undervalued. He messaged me. Then he started following me. He went through all of my content. He got the journal. He gets the journal. He's like, hey, Tyler, this journal is awesome. I'm just not really sure where to start. Any way you can like guide me. And I end up calling this guy up on the phone and I go, hey, what's up? You know, I see you're having some problems with getting started. Talk to me. Tell me a little bit about yourself. He tells me his story. Now I'm like, dude, I know that Facebook, this guy is about 60 years old. I know on Facebook, there are a lot of him. So I'm like, hey, how about on Wednesday morning, me and you do a Zoom session. I record it. I answer all your questions. And I, you know,
use that. Yeah.
But you let me cut up the content and post it. So we're going to do this. And I think it's going to hit pretty good. So now when I have that, I can go right into Facebook, target people over 55 years old. And I'm going to try to get this guy to tell his story because basically it's perfect. It's like, dude, he signed up with a financial advisor that he found through his church, gave this guy like, you know, call it $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. He's like, dude, 10 years later, this guy didn't make any money. And he keeps telling me like, oh, it's going to be, this is the path, you know, like, you know, cause they just plug it in the model. Yeah. And he's like, dude, this guy sucks. Like, this is bullshit. Then he invested all of his money in Apple, you know, hit like a 8-bagger or whatever. And now he's like, oh, I want to like do this for real. Like I'm going to retire. Like I can live off my wife. Like I want to just fucking invest.
Learn. Yeah.
So
yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's an awesome funnel you're building. It's basically,
that's super what, like, targeted.
Yeah. That's what like CRO guys do, right? Like they go in Shopify stores and increase people's conversions. They just add in upsells and things like that. And you know, one thing that I don't know if you have, but something that works great for us putting on like clients' websites is just like the symbol, and I can send you, I have a really nice symbol of it, the 100% satisfaction guarantee. Like most people, they just like, that's just like a warming thing and they feel more comfortable making the purchase, and 99.8% of people are never going to come back and say they're unsatisfied.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, you'll have like one or two people that are just like real assholes that like do something like that. But I mean, I have the journal, like, or, you know, I forget what they're purchasing first, but like whatever you make, they're going to be satisfied with it. You know, you do everything right. You know, they're not going to not be satisfied, but having that icon on there goes really far. Or anything else that you can have in there. If say, I guess they're paying for the shipping, but like a free, if they weren't, like the free shipping symbol and things like that go really far, or any form of social proof, like rated 5 stars by 50 plus people, things like that,
yeah,
near your checkout, those go really far.
I want to get into two things. First, I want to just circle back to Sam Parr. You follow that Grant guy, and I love Sam Parr. I don't know what he's really, really good at. He's pretty good at copywriting. I don't know what else he's good at, but the best thing that I think he is at is finding the right people.
He prides himself on that for sure.
Yeah, he hired this guy, Jordan, who was a copywriter for, I want to say it was The Motley Fool. And dude, I read all of this guy's stuff on Twitter. I think he's one of the co-founders with Sam on Hampton.
Wait, what's his name again? Say it again.
Jordan? I think it's like okay. Jordan DePrito or something.
Yeah, I follow him too.
Dude, he's that guy. He doesn't have a lot of content. I've like literally read everything that I could find on this dude. But dude, he is so ahead of the game. You can tell that he is a beast at what he does.
Yep.
So a couple of things about the landing page, right? If you have that landing page, I think the highest converting landing pages are very simple. They have the pink spoon element. They have, you know, a value drop and the social proof. So I've tried to add on all of the pages are these reviews that we have. And what we do is I get there's a super simple software. It's called Feedletter. And if you notice at the bottom of the All Green newsletters, it's like, hey, give me feedback. And then you click a link and it opens up a thing. It's like, hey, write me why you like this. Or, you know, they think they're voting, but then it goes one step further. Mm-hmm. It upsells them into giving you feedback.
That's called Feedletter.
Yeah.
Like F-E-E-D.
Yep. I think it might be feedletter.com or feedletter.io. It's a great tool. It's super easy to use. And it's just like a line of HTML code. It's awesome. Then you can like kind of manipulate that program to look like it's leaving you reviews. And what I do is on every page at Augury, I want feedback. And what you can do is you can build a wall of love through this program. And it's just basically a JavaScript with you can add all of the positive feedback and negative feedback if you want to this thing, and then it just populates. So if you go to like the Augury homepage, now you can see that there's a wall of love under it, and it's like people are like, dude, this newsletter is awesome. Can't wait for the next issue. Hey, I just signed up this week, got the first issue. I loved it. Looking forward to the next one. And what does that do? That just adds instant credibility to your thing. And I have it on all of the things. So I wrote an ebook and I added all of the reviews that I've gotten for the ebook, and I now have a wall of love on the ebook. I have the journal. I have all of the reviews from the journal, wall of love. And on every product page where I'm trying to get something from the customer, I want them, you have to build up their confidence so they're going to, you know, push them over the edge. And it's two part. It's two part. The first part is they're going to go to this page and they're not going to check out, right? Yep. And then what? Now the customer is aware of your product and your offer, but they don't have the conviction. So once you can tag them, if you know that they visit that particular page, tag them, know who they are. And then what you do, your job from there is to build conviction that they need your product. And you can do that really, really easy. It's just constant. It's like, you know, you might go to a bar and there might be a girl there and you're going to try to go talk to her, but you're going to get shot down most of the time. You need to
follow up on that lead.
Yeah. And that's right. And you just, you might get her number, right? And that's all you need. Because once you get her number, then, send her a savvy text. Like, oh, I was just thinking about you. I saw so-and-so. Oh, put that in her mind that, like her story. You like her stories on Instagram. And now she posts something and you don't like it.
Sales,
and she's
sales
like, what's going on?
That are the same exact thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've gotten into these automations. So you know what? We don't have Zoom Pro. We got 2 minutes, 40 seconds left, but that'll put us around that 40, 45 minute mark we usually shoot at for. But I'm setting that these automations are so important because we kind of brute forced our way to where we were. We're just brute force completely. But these automations are, as I started setting these up and just like learning more about this, I was like, I'd probably let $5,000 or more of revenue and a lot of that recurring revenue slip through my fingers because I had conversations with people on the phone, had a good call. They're teetering on the edge. And then I don't have them saved anywhere. They're just like in my text messages. I follow up with them one time, but then I have three more leads that come over the course of the next, you know, days or week or whatever. And I move on to those guys and I forget about those guys. And I only follow up with them once. But now before I get on a call with anybody, they have to fill out my intake form. That takes 2 minutes. And then they're in my CRM. And then, you know, I can continue to follow up with them forever. I can set, I'm pretty sure even in Monday, I can even set like alerts for when a date hits to follow up with this person and things like that.
Yeah. It, dude, I mean, look, it's like business is so difficult,
So
but
fun.
it if you it makes it just going on this podcast literally like inspires me more. And dude, if you understand these skills that are required to turn attention into dollars, they're invaluable. Like you can't not win if you learn these things. And it's just learning them. It's like anything. It's like learning how to program. It's like learning how to write. It's like learning how to invest, your money. It takes time. It's like learning how to surf. You're not gonna go out there and paddle into your first wave and be Kelly Slater. It's
Yep.
just not ever gonna happen.
We
It's
got
like,
I don't mean to cut you off. We got less than a minute, so we should wrap up and say our goodbyes here. And but we'll hop on. I'll start another one right here. But yeah, I know it's a weird way to end a podcast, but we hit a time limit. We're about to get cut off, so I don't want to be mid-conversation and just boop, there it goes.
okay.
All right. So yeah, you guys, thanks for listening. We said this before, we're going to say it now, but I'm committing to one a month minimum. We can do one a month. Sometimes I
Yes.
just get really busy between work and the other work, and it's just hard to say one a week. So yeah, once a month, we'll see you guys.